Matthew 21, and I think I can just about promise that's going to be all, but we'll see. But you're going to get your Bible reading in today. And I'll be using the New King James Version. This morning I went to my car twice, and I forgot my Bible, so I'm like some of y'all millennials today. That's my Bible's camouflage. And so I'm going to be using that. I hate leaving my Bible. I don't know that I've ever done that, that I didn't go back and get it. I actually went upstairs because we have Bibles there, and I had this giant print that's sitting over there. It's like that big. You turn the pages with help. But it wasn't the new king. It was the regular king, and I didn't want to wear you out with too many thuses and thous. Nothing wrong with it, but New King James just kind of trims a little bit, and that's what I study a lot with, that in the ESV. But anyway, that's me. That's how I roll. Anyway, I'll start with this. Have you ever seen that movie, Nanny McPhee? Let me see who's seen Nanny McPhee, because, okay. If you've never seen Nanny McPhee, there's an actress named Emma Thompson. It's a good little movie. I think there's actually a couple of them. But it's some kids are just terribly behaved. And what they need is Nanny McPhee. That's the premise of the thing, is there's a single dad trying to raise a bunch of kids, and these kids are going crazy. You think your kids are bad? See these kids. These kids are nuts. They need Nanny McPhee and an exorcism, but it doesn't say that in the Hollywood title. That's what they need. But they bring in Nanny McPhee, and she's got this cane, and when she pops the ground with it, like, dish, like, the ground shakes, lightning shoots out of that thing, and her magic starts happening, and the kids gradually get better through Nanny McPhee. And the whole thing keeps going, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? All you need is Nanny McPhee. Well, that's kind of, because Nanny McPhee is a fix, and she even in the end fixes bad attitudes. But there are certain things that as Christians we like, and non-Christians, but we like quick fixes, don't we? Right? That's why drive-through is, the line is so long. We want it quick, and we want to move on. And you know, I think Chick-fil-A, they used to have this thing outside that showed how many cars a day. Like, we served 95 cars today. We served 103 cars. They want you to know that we can get you in, and we can get you out, and we can tell you it was a pleasure to do it. And we want it to happen fixed, so we want a result very quickly, okay? So let me talk about something that will help us in our want it fix, or want it quick fix. It's not making sense yet, but it will. Let me pull up my little scripture, Matthew 21 and verse 28. But what do you think? Jesus is saying this right here. A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." But afterwards he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second son and said, "Likewise." And he answered and said, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, "The first." And Jesus went on to talk to them about that. But what happened right here is somebody had an issue with obedience, and their issue was not that they said yes to the instruction. It's that they said yes to the instruction, and they did not do what they said yes to. So the issue became obedience. Because up to a point, everything looked perfect. He even had manners. He said, "I go, sir." How about that? It's one thing to lie to me, but if you do it with manners, I'm going to be twice as mad. If you say, yeah, I'll do it, well, I'm probably already thinking that you won't. You know, if you disrespect me as I'm giving you instruction, I'm probably holding you in suspicion as you walk out the door. But if you say, sir, I will do that, then I am in full expectation that you will, because you had manners. He had manners, and then he didn't do it. Oh. That just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. All right, now on to a longer scripture. I'm going to give you a New Testament story, and then I'm going to give you an Old Testament story. And then we're going to get out of here. Is that all right? All right. Romans 6, beginning with verse 12. Because what I want you to understand out of this whole thing is what we need instead of a quick fix. There's a quick fix for you, but you won't get to that place unless you add this one thing, and it's simply this: obedience. Obedience. The Bible says this: obedience is better than sacrifice. What do you think that means? We'll get to it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We'll get to it in a second. I love that boom. Boom, and then only Stephen can do that. Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So that puts a responsibility on you right there, that you should obey it in its lust. See, sin has something to do with obedience too. Here's the thing that he's saying right there already, just boom, right off the bat. He's letting you know, obedience is going to happen. It's just who you obey. And do not present your members as instruments. That means your body. Do not use your body as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. It'll explain it a little bit more. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. We're going to continue that because we can't just stop and think, well, I'm just under grace. Well, I'm just under grace. There's a lot of folks that feel that way right now because there's a lot of grace that's been taught. And I'm a grace man. I believe in grace. But I also believe the scripture says we do not trample his grace. We learned something. He did not tell you not to do something just so that you can learn to do it and him still forgive you and everything be okay, because that would set up a lifestyle of him telling you to do something and you not doing it and it just being okay. That don't work in your house with your children, does it? You don't tell your children to do something and then just not do it, and then you're just okay with it. Well, they just didn't want to. Oh. Well, on to the next thing that I'll tell them that they won't do and everything will be okay. And then on to the next thing that I'll tell them to do and they won't do it and everything will be okay. It leads to a life of frustration and not blessing. What then? Verse 15, shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. If you've marked in your Bible, you ought to mark that. Certainly not. Do we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? See, I just used my phone and I just got a message. I know y'all heard that little bing. Y'all remember last week, I think I told you I was talking to somebody, and I was talking to somebody else. I told them this week. I was talking to somebody I met on the basketball court with Walker. Within about 2 minutes of talking to them, they just stopped and said, let's pray. I said, all right. And they prayed a prayer over me that I was not expecting on a public basketball court in Fort Mill. Can you believe that? Can I tell you, God can find you. That was that man right there. I might should stop and see what he was going to say. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Okay. So what this scripture, I'm going to go down to 23 because I meant to actually start with 23, but I messed that up. Let me just jump to 23 and then we'll come back. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you have heard that scripture? But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I've heard that and heard that and heard that and heard that. Can I tell you this? God means what he says. A wage is something you get paid for your actions and for your work. So when you work it the wrong way, you can get a payment that you didn't want. For what fruit, verse 21, did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I gave you that little story because I wanted to get to the Old Testament. To 1 Samuel chapter 5. So go there with me if you will. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Sorry, 15. Now this is where I said we're going to get our reading in because we're going to get the whole chapter. We're going to read the whole chapter. And it's not that long, but it's going to be good and help you. It's 35 verses, okay? Saul has just become king. And Saul was the people's choice, mainly because of his stature. And they thought they saw something that they wanted. God ended up letting them have what they wanted. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Samuel was speaking to Saul, and this is the way it went. Samuel was a priest, and he prophesied, and he would say things to the king, Saul. And it would be something from the Lord, and then Saul would decide whether he was going to obey that or not. That's really what this whole message comes down to. God says things to us. And when people say, I shared this with you last week. People say, I heard the Lord say this. I usually need a Bible reference with that. Because a lot of people talk about how the Lord talks to them. The Lord told them this. Lord told them this. Lord told them this. Here's how you know if the Lord really told you something. It agrees with his word. Sorry. That's how it works. It'll, God's not going to say something else that went outside of his word because Jesus said this, it is finished. So everything that needed to be done was done. So it's already there. And we want order in our lives and we want things to go well, but it will only go well if we are obedient because obedience is better than sacrifice. That's where we're going to get to this in the scripture. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Sacrifice includes something that you had a part of in this context, in this connotation. People offering sacrifice up to the Lord. And you know what I found about when I do something that I think that I did for the Lord? I'm real good at keeping records of what I did as unto the Lord. We record keep for God. In other words, when we feel like we should get a desired result from the Lord, we go back and show him our record. God, remember I did this. I could have done this, but I was obedient. I did this, so things should go kind of like, you know, I thought it did, should have, you know. What did I tell you last week? I told you this. We're going to believe God for a yes, but we're going to trust him if he gives us a no. Because his no is just as important as his yes is. I've learned that. I know that to be true. So this is what the scripture says. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord." That's a huge sentence right there. "Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord." In simple, he's saying, obey. God is getting ready to tell you something. Do you know that this is true when it comes to God's word? God does not present to us with his word a list of options. I remember when I was a kid, like 10 or 12 years ago, and my dad would always watch this show at 11 p.m. every night. And it was Ted Koppel, and it was called Nightline. It was always scary to me, but I got to stay up if I watched Nightline with Dad. So I would watch it, but it'd be scary. But I remember one time Ted Koppel said about the Ten Commandments. He said, "They're not the Ten Suggestions." That stuck with me. So I've learned this about God's Word. It's not an option. It's an opportunity for obedience. It's an opportunity for blessing. Come back, Bible. See, my Bible will turn off. Lord, have mercy. "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord." The voice of the words of the Lord. Heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Not heed the word of the Lord. Heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Can I tell you this? God's word will talk to you. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them." Just so you know, Amalek is a reference of sin. And he says it's got to go. All of it. All of it. Just so you know, you're going to find out that they didn't destroy all of it. And it shows itself up again later. And that's what sin does. You might think you tuck it away for nobody to see, but it'll come back. And you'll pay. Because the New Testament scripture is true. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. "Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Ooh, this is not politically correct at all. "So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, 'Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt.' So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. Uh-oh. But everything, I mean, that's the John version right there. The uh-oh, that's not in any version, but uh-oh. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. So here's Saul's thinking. I know he said to destroy it all, but them some good-looking cows. God wouldn't want them to go to waste, would he? See, from the beginning, the enemy always comes and takes what the Lord said and says, did God really say? And see, that's where we get in trouble, where we start thinking, well, God understands if I give it just a little twist right here, because in the end result, God's going to really be blessed out of my choice, which really blesses me, whether it blesses God or not. And God might be okay with it. And he's not. And he never was. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. You remember that? Uh-oh. Saul didn't realize that God was seeing everything. Uh-oh. It grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed, he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul and said to him, blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Liar. I didn't say that either, but that's right there with uh-oh. Remember I said, he said, in the New Testament, whenever the son said, sir, I will go, sir. Look at the respect. Blessed are you of the Lord. I've done everything God told me to do. Oh, yeah. Don't forget, Samuel hears from the Lord. He hears from Saul, but he also hears from the Lord. You got to be careful. Some people can say it all right, but give me somebody that can do it right. But Samuel said, what then? I mean, Samuel cut right to the point. What is all this bleating of the sheep in my ears? And the lowing of the oxen, which I hear. You ever see somebody come out of the pool and the first thing they start doing like this? I think that's how Samuel was like. But I hear you, but I hear something else. See, I hear you, but I hear something else. I hear a lie coming out of you that you didn't say. You didn't tell me it was a lie, but I know it's a lie. Because I hear more than just what you say. I hear what the Lord says. What is this thing I hear in my ears? Verse 15, and Saul said, they have brought, say it louder, they, blame shift, slick worded rascal, they completely forgot he is so exposed right now. And he digs in deeper. Have you ever seen anybody that's caught just dig themselves in deeper? They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared. Them people over there spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. All them three-legged animals and the ones with the broke tails and the ones with hives and foam coming out of their mouth. We got rid of them. But the prize stuff, they. Now, this is a king. This is Saul. And they've not had a king yet, but now they got a king. So they've set up how you talk to a king and how you speak to a king. And we've seen other places that have kings. And so we got us a king now, so we're going to do it right. So there's a certain way you talk to a king, but what does Samuel say to the king? Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. Imagine that. If anybody was witnesses, I bet it got quiet quick. Be quiet. Mine shows exclamation points. I think he said, be quiet. In other words, you've said enough. In order for us to bring things back into balance, I got to start saying words of truth because you've got a whole bunch of lies that you said. Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And Saul said to him, speak on. Can you imagine that? Imagine how that conversation was going. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own. Let me just stop and say, what if the Lord said to you or said to somebody that was talking to you and you were trying to lie your way out of something and they said to you, let me tell you what the Lord said last night. I would think this person has reincarnated. That's been reincarnated from my mother. Because she's the only other one in this world that could do that. I could be telling her, and she just say, be quiet, John. Let me tell you what the Lord said. And she would do stuff like that. Billy, you know my mom and your mom, they could do stuff like that, and it'd be right. That's what they got for all them nights there reading the Bible. Let me tell you what the Lord said. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. You know, when you get a bad case of a liar, they believe their own stories. They've read their own press, and they believe it. Some people would tell a lie when the truth would sound better. But the people took of the plunder sheep and oxen. Saul. The best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, and here it comes, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, in other words, look at this, get this, understand this. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. All of a sudden, truth comes out. Why did truth all of a sudden come out of him? He's convicted, but also he starts weighing it all out. Oh, you mean I'm going to lose all this? Let me try one more thing. Let me forget all that and let's go with this. Another story. You ever seen where people change their story? You know what that does? It loses credibility. But who was hacking away at their own credibility the whole time? Saul. He took his own credibility, laid it out there and put it on display and began to hack away at it. I have no credibility. What he was saying was, do not trust anything I say, as he kept talking. He was displaying all the evidence against himself. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. All these little tag-ins, all this little extra stuff. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe, and it tore. So, y'all like that sound effect? So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Just to obey. It's that simple. You want to be set up for God's blessing? Obey. Obey what? His word. You want to be set up for failure? Disobey his word. Now, who does that bring it back to? You and me. And we can say the devil made me do it, but most of my mess I got myself into. When I become very honest with myself, most of it comes on me in my decision to obey or not obey. So Samuel said to him, verse 28, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent or that he should lie. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. Can a man wear God out? This is a beautiful picture of the mercy of God right here. Then he said, forget all that. This is the thing. I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. Samuel realizes the depth of this thing. Samuel realizes where this thing has to stop. Samuel's got an ear to the Lord. Samuel heard what the Lord said and hasn't forgot what the Lord said. Forget all this nonsense. He remembers what the Lord said. It's going to get graphic in here real quick. Samuel said this, "Bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me." So Agag came to him cautiously. How about that? And Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." Almost threw an uh-oh in there. But Samuel said, "As your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women." And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Told you, it's about to get graphic. It don't get much more graphic than that. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. I say this to my fault. I have been really good about keeping my records in front of God so that I can remind him of the good things that I've done. Am I alone? Has anybody else ever reminded God of something that you did? Like I've been serving you this long, God. I've been preaching this long. You know, it goes right into that thing that I've said before about you ever felt like something should have happened in your life by now. We all got goals, right? I've been living this long. I feel like maybe this should have happened by now and it hasn't happened yet. That's usually when we break out the achievement awards and start pinning them on ourselves. God, remember this thing I did. That one, God? That one's shiny right there. That one made you look real good, God. So what about this other thing? When are we going to work it out, God? Let me tell you what God is really good about keeping record of. God is really good about keeping record of obedience. Because all the other sacrifice, you can sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice. Because sacrifice is really supposed to be an offering anyway. But we keep record of our offerings, don't we? But you can sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice, but sacrifices will never reach the level of obedience. Because he said it, and it's sealed, and it's his word. So that's it, and that's all. So obedience is fixed to be better than sacrifice. So we can bring God all of our sacrifices and keep record of what we did because we think it makes us look good, but what God really keeps record of is our obedience. Let me tell you this. If we ever get the obedience right, the sacrifice won't even matter because we got the obedience right. You won't even have to bring anything and show it to God because the obedience was all he was looking for. And the obedience is what opens the door to the blessing. Because even when something pours out, when you obey, that wasn't what you thought was going to happen. See, that's where it gets tight. Even when we obey God, there's something that we think should obviously benefit us. Because I don't care what it is, there's something about us that still keeps us in a place where we are deserving. I mean, you remember the shows that would have, or the movies that would have a king, and someone would walk into the king's presence, and you know, you had to approach the king a certain way. But they would come in and they'd say, "You're humble, sir." There's something about that right there that feels like, as they're doing the act, "You're humble, servant. Oh, I'm about to get blessed." Certainly the king is going to bestow land and riches and daughters and no taxes and all kinds of stuff are going to come my way. I'm going to sit beside the king and I'm going to drink from the king's cup and I'm going to be a guest at his table. "You're humble, servant." And I got it all planned out. When the king pours out, and it didn't look like, man, I thought I was going to get more than just that broke down old horse over there. You know, I thought what I did meant more. Can I tell you that the scripture is always going to be true? He works all things out. All things. It all comes down to a level of trust, even your decision to obey or not. When you're faced with, you'll see it in your children as you're raising your children. When you give them something to do, you'll see them reach an age whenever they just stopped and all of a sudden they're calculating, if I do that, it's going to take time away from what I really want to be doing over here. And they're doing this at the speed of light. And if I do this, is there a blessing attached to it? In other words, is mom and dad going to give me the car keys or dad slip me a 20? Can I just stop for a second and say this? Is there anything that you can let your kids do that costs less than $20? Anything. Can they get a racer at school? Do they even have a school store anymore? Everything's $20 at least. It's like, entry level's $20. Entry level's three times the minimum wage for 1 hour work. I remember when $20, man, I remember when I saw a $20 bill. I remember one time I saw a $100 bill. My dad was a pastor. I thought he had robbed a bank. My dad never had $100 bills. I thought he had found it on the ground or something. I couldn't believe when I saw 100, I was like, I remember one time my cousin opened up his wallet. And he had a motorcycle. I had a bike that was bought at a yard sale. And he had a motorcycle. My cousin had a motorcycle. I had a bike that was bought at a yard sale. He opened up his wallet. And inside that wallet was a $20 bill. And I thought, he's so rich. So, okay, back to the message. So that's where my brain is stuck. I live like that. Sorry if I have overexposure. You live like that too? That's why we. You live like that with me, don't you? We're strange, y'all. If none of y'all come back next week, we understand. Listen. There are some things that I could try to sit up here and talk you into, but I've learned this. I will bump my gums and waste my breath if I try to convince you to trust God. If I try to convince you to obey God. The one thing I can tell you is this. The good things that I have in my life are a result of obedience unto the Lord. The bad things that I have in my life are a result of disobedience unto the Lord. If you want good things in your life, obey God. If you want to walk a long, drawn out, sad story. In some cases, it's not drawn out very long. There are some disobediences that cost you way bigger than other ones. That one thing that Saul did proved unto God, he's not king. He's not king material. He's not king material. Saul just unfolded all the evidence against himself. Story number one. Go back. Story number two. Let me tweak that. Story number three. All right, forget all of that. Story number four. Okay, forget all that. Story number five. You're not fit. Not fit. Not fit. Because that was in him. Can I tell you what's inside of you comes out? What's inside of you comes out. You don't get to decide what comes out of you. It comes out when you get squeezed. What's inside comes out. What came out was what was inside when you got squeezed. Be careful what you put inside of you. Be smart about it. Be cautious about it. I'm very careful about who I let speak into my life. Because the people that I let speak into my life, I really trust them. It's a value to me. I don't need to just hear stuff. I don't need to just hear how good John is. I need somebody to say, John, you're not all that. I've learned the value of that. I've learned the value of somebody that can tell me the truth. So there are people that can tell me truth, but nothing can tell me truth like God's word will tell me truth. And then it's all down. Then it's down to me. It's decision. Am I going to say yes? Am I going to say no? Am I going to say nothing? I can prophesy with a promise what your life will look like at the very end of it. Your life at the very end of it will look like a series of things that you said yes to and you said no to, or you said nothing at all. And that will be your life. So the last question is, how's that working for you? Hey, you came to the right place. We're gathered together today in the name of the Lord. We're breaking up His word. We're feasting from the bread of life. God will never set you up for failure. He will set you up to be a part of His word and the completion of His word. I'm going to obey that. Joshua said this when he took over from Moses. This is what was, God gave Joshua this word. Choose you today who you will serve. If God be God, serve Him. That's where it all comes down to, that right there. If God be God, serve God. Serve Him. There's joy in it. There's peace in it. There's trust in it. And it compounds every time you use it. It compounds every time you do it. And what's really cool is when you didn't get the answer that you thought you should get, but you were obedient and you were patient and you waited and you let some time pass, and then you realize, oh, that's why you didn't let me do that. That's why you didn't do it my way. Oh, that's right, because I'm not God, but you are. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You got anything, honey? Just going to sing? Well, let's sing. I have to always check because y'all know her last 3 minutes are better than my previous 30. She take what I say and just pull it right down in something that makes sense.
I guess I was really feeling like God's boundaries are just so precious. They're not meant to to torture us or make us obey because he's God and we're not. They are meant to make us prosperous and healthy. And he knows that, just like we do with our children. We put these boundaries not because we're overbearing, but because we love deeply and greatly. And that's what I feel when you're talking like that. Like when you talked about hacking away at Agag, if that is the representation of sin, I'm doing that. I'm going to hack away at every excuse that I make to entertain sin at all in any form. And just like we can learn from that, that even a little bit, even what we think is the cream of the crop of sin is devastation. Well, at least it's not this. How many times do we do that? At least it's not hurting anyone else. It's just me. It's just what I think about. It's just what I entertain. And that is such a perfect example of what we need to do is get rid of every single trace of it so that we can live in the goodness and fullness of what God has planned for us.
Oh, you had a nugget there. When you said that about boundaries, how precious his boundaries are. Just tell you real quick this little story because I think this might be where somebody's at today. I was at a friend's house. We were hunting on his property. He had this thing called an invisible fence for his dogs. Invisible fence. In other words, the dog learns how far he can go, and there's a little tone or a vibration. If he gets across that line, it bites him with electricity, and he learns to stay on this side. Well, we don't have that electrical sensation. We just have the consequences of our actions. And they can bite. You will wish that it was just a little shock of electricity when you realize some of the things that you got to pay back. But we had to go track this deer, and he's like, let me go get Buster. And we threw him in the back of the truck, and we drove off the property, but he forgot. When we drove across the visible fence, Buster said, argh! He's like, oh, he stopped trying. He said, Buster, I'm sorry. He's petting the dog and everything, and Buster's looking at him like, and you want me to go do this? He probably ran us through the briars. He probably knew the blood was this way. Oh, them briars, I'm paying them back. We're going through them briars. But just this week, my mother-in-law, Vicky, she said, John, the neighbor's dog, is that the neighbor's dog out there at the edge of their yard? Because he's never there. But he was just sitting there on the edge of the street, just right on the corner. And he was just looking. He's all nervous and everything. And I said, yeah, that's their dog, I'm sure of. I said, I think I know what happened. He's just learning the invisible fence. But something had got him where he ran across it and couldn't get back in. I forgot about it going past it. And then run past it now to get back. There's my home. There's my house. There's my pen. There's my food. There's my water. The people I love, I can probably hear their voice inside of there, but I'm afraid I can't get back in. I think that's where some of you are. I crossed a boundary. I'm not sure if I can get back past it because here's what I believe. The Lord wants you to hear. The pain that you went through going past that boundary, it's not going to be painful to come back into him. Cut the power. And they came outside and they said, yep, that's him. That's our dog. Thank you, thank you. I don't know why. Their dog, their cat, their dog, that's the first time. Their cat usually ends up by my door. I don't even like cats. Don't anybody ever bring me no cat. I don't like them. For some reason, that cat likes me. I never fed him. I call him and say, Hercules. Don't name your cat Hercules. Hercules is at my door. That's not Hercules unless you own a lion. Don't call him Hercules. It's that annoying, flea-bitten cat y'all got. It's over at my house. I don't like cats. But they said, yeah, that's our dog. Thank you. We're going to let him back in. And you can go across a boundary and think you can't come back in, and God says, yes, you can. Get back over here. Get back home. You don't have to come to the front and say, hey, I went past the boundary. He already knows. And he welcomes you back in and says, come home.
John, I have to say this too. I don't know why we're on dog analogies, but the neighbors across the street, listen, this is good. 14 years they had a dog. 14 years that dog would go to the edge of the yard, come back to the house. Edge of the yard, come back to the house. One night, the dog just got disoriented and took off into the road and was killed after 14 years of that same pattern. And this is what I was hearing about that while you were talking is you cannot set your own boundaries. You cannot set your own boundaries and trust that. You have to set your boundaries where they are firm and solid in God's word. And that you do, the Holy Spirit will enforce God's word in your heart. And as you get close, you will feel that. But if you set your own boundaries, you're outside of that protection. Does that make sense? And I really feel like that's what God's calling us to today, is to be inside his protection. To be obedience is where it's at. Obedience is obeying even when you don't understand and even when you don't agree. Because we're trusting in a God that is far greater than anything we could understand. Amen?
Amen. Let me just tell you, I heard that night. I heard screaming. I was inside my house. I heard such screaming. I thought somebody was getting killed. And when I came outside and looked, catty corner, there were people laying on the ground screaming. I thought something awful had happened in the house. And then I realized their little dog was laying in the road. They were very attached to that dog. They finally ran inside, got keys, took the dog, put it in the car in a box. They cranked the car up, and I thought, oh, they're going to drive like crazy. And then all of a sudden, the lights turned off, and I could still hear them screaming in the car for several minutes, and the dog had died. It's sad for them. It broke my heart. I don't like cats, but I like dogs, y'all. But there's nothing they could do to bring that dog back. The wages of sin is death. And if it goes that far, there ain't nothing you can do to bring that back. But the gift of God is eternal life. And a choice is yours. A choice is yours. And don't let it take a choice that you can't get back anyway. You can't cry it back. You can't grieve it back into existence. Get off the wrong side of the boundary. Get back in home with God. Get back to the safe place. And then obey the boundaries of God. Appreciate them, and appreciate them by obeying them. Amen?
Amen.
Will you stand on your feet this morning? Father, thank you for the word, your word. God, we always say thank you for your word, but according to Scripture, God, let us pray it even more acutely. God, thank you for the voice of the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, just like Samuel said, and the voice of the word of the Lord came. God, let us hear the voice of the word of the Lord. Let your word be so alive that it speaks to us. So there'll be no mistake that we don't even accidentally disobey your word. Let it be very loud to us, God. Let us hear your word and then let us obey it, God. Teach us the benefits of obedience. Teach us to obey. Teach us the benefits of obedience. We already know what disobedience leads to. God, thank you for the voice of your word in our lives. Thank you that it guides us, and thank you that it guards us. Thank you that it shows us the way. Thank you that it gives us instruction, and we will either heed it or not. We will either obey it or not. Let us realize that your word, the beauty of your word, is a boundary and it leads to life with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.